Well, I'm so excited today to have such a great guest with me. I met Logan Loomis in Charlottetown, Florida, and we had an opportunity to work together with Jane Atkinson and some other wealthy speakers, and we got talking about our businesses. Both of us share some very special services, and Logan is far more experienced than I am. And I listened to him for a short while and I said, wow, I really want to bring your knowledge to my audience. So to set this up, you know, basically I am working in I'm working in workplace relationships. Play Nice in the Sandbox is my brand. I help people learn to play nice in the sandbox. And so often I realize that people are bringing old conflict into their current sandbox. So Logan and I got talking about that. And just to set the stage, Logan is a consultant and coach and does professional training with companies and helps them unlock performance potential in their people, which also results in unlocking performance potential in their business. And, you know, he's such an incredible mind when it comes to this stuff. So I'm really, really excited to have you here. Logan, can you tell us, can you give me, give us, you know, some of your experience and feedback about bringing old stuff into a new sandbox?
I'd be delighted, Penny, and it's great to be with you and your audience today. I love your metaphor of a sandbox because in life, we do move into different sandboxes. And one of the things that I've found as a coach in helping businesses grow is we develop what I think of as success patterns or success models in whatever the sandbox we're in. And a lot of those come from our original sandbox, you know, what we had to do to succeed in our family. When we move to another sandbox, those success patterns may not promote success in that new sandbox. And so we have to unlock our performance potential to create new behavioral patterns that are going to contribute to success in whatever situation we find ourselves in, or to use your metaphor, the sandbox we find ourselves in. And one of the things that has been really helpful to me in understanding our behavioral patterns and helpful for me in working with my clients is the use of behavioral data. I have, for the last 18 years, used an assessment called the Harrison Assessment. And it's distinct in that it is built from the traits that go into job performance rather than personality. And unlike personality assessments, it's a behavioral assessment. So we can see behaviors, some which are going to be productive behaviors for the sandbox you're in, some that are not going to be productive behaviors for the sandbox you're in. And fortunately, because although we can't change our personalities, we can change our behaviors and play to our strengths as well. So just to give you an example, this is something you and I talked about that I think intrigued you, is one of the traits in the Harrison Assessment is called takes initiative. And what that really is evaluating is how much approval or guidance you need when making a decision. Can you make an independent decision to move on, or do you need someone to validate that decision? And so I've got a client, I've actually worked with them for over a decade, and they have they had a sales guy who the CEO felt had tremendous potential, but he was driving the CEO crazy because he would come in and say, is this the way you want me to do this? How do you want me to do this? And so when I looked at his data, that trait was very inconsistent with the high self-motivation, high achievement drive that he had. And so I said, you know, just as a curiosity, when you were growing up, was there anybody who was a very strong authority figure in your family? And he said, Logan, my dad was a Marine. I said, so if you didn't ask permission, what was going to be the consequence of that? And he goes, Logan, there was a physical consequence for me not asking permission. And I said, okay, let me explain something to you. The CEO is not your dad. There's not going to be a repercussion. Let's reevaluate that. And what's been great is he did, and he's continued to be just a tremendous performer and something that amuses me. I see him periodically, and I had not seen the CEO in a couple of months. And so I ran into the sales guy and I said, so how's the CEO doing? And he said, I don't have time for him. So, you know, just a total transformation for how to succeed in a new sales, in a new environment where the authority figure is not your father, and that relationship can be matured and you can unlock more of the performance potential in it. So one of the things that I think we can learn as we go forward is to look at our behavior and just evaluate in this situation what behaviors are going to drive the most success, and then play to our strengths.
Right. And, you know, that self-reflection, looking into our own behavior as to why we do what we do and say what we say and behave how we behave, I don't think that that's common practice. I think that we very, very quickly look at other people and how they're, you know, not playing nice in our sandbox, or not behaving the way that we want them to behave, without recognizing that we are actually, we have so much influence and control over the sandbox environment, how things work out or not work out. And so, do you have any suggestions, or do you have any indications for people when they should, when they should be flagged to look deeply at how they're showing up in a certain situation?
When one of the things that I've learned in life, and it was a profound insight to me when I was a CEO, was to learn to listen skillfully, which is listening to the point of understanding. Mm. And I think we tend as human beings to react to a situation. And one of the keys, I think, to playing in any sandbox is to pause and confirm that you really understand what somebody is saying, to check in, to say, and I call it the magic phrase, so if I understand you. If you can harness that, that's going to help you play in any sandbox. You and I both have done a lot of conflict resolution. And when I was doing mediation, I practiced law for the better part of 10 years. And when I was doing mediation, it was stunning to me to see that the issues that caused the conflict were often just a misunderstanding or not being heard. And so as we are in our leadership roles, if we pause and truly understand where somebody's going to be coming from, it makes a huge amount of difference. Psychologists tell us that after food and shelter, the most compelling human need is to be understood. And so I think that's a key to playing effectively in any sandbox, and it's a key to resolving any kind of conflict, is to make sure that you understand where you're coming from, and it changes the whole dynamic in a relationship.
Yes. I agree 100%. I talk about listening, and if that's all you've got in a relationship is the ability to be, if that's all you've gotten in, if that's all the skill that you bring to the game is seeking to understand people, you will go so far. And then if you happen to be fortunate enough to be surrounded by or with somebody who's also doing the same for you, wow, that is incredible. But I agree so much.
Wow. It does. It creates a whole different energy.
Yes. Yes. And, people think that great communication skills mean how we come out and what we come out with and, you know, how eloquent or how smart we can sound or how concise we can be or how impactful we can be with our words. But I think paramount to that is how we can let other people's words come in. That is a skilled communicator. And I also do mediations, and getting people to the point of understanding each other is, once you get there, the rest is easy, right? The rest is easy.
You just see the conflict dissolve.
That's right. That's right. You see it
dissolve. You know, you just see the conflict dissolve. It's been fun over the years, because I think one of the most profound things I've learned in my very long career now is that you can gain more influence by listening than you can by speaking, if you listen to the point of understanding.
Yes.
And in a workshop that I've done for the last 20 years, I guess, I actually create conflict. And it's a group exercise, so nobody has to be singled out except when they're in the initial conversation with me. But you can see how you respond to me changes the energy and the conflict. And when you respond in an understanding way, simply trying to understand, you can see the conflictive energy just dissolving. Yes. It's a really profound experience for people to be able to observe what happens when you respond to me in an understanding way, as rather than in a problem-solving way or in a defensive way. You change the whole dynamic, which ultimately, and it's something that you alluded to earlier, it ultimately gives you far more self-control. You're far more in control of the experience simply by listening to the point of understanding than you are in speaking.
Yes. I would love to be a fly on the wall in your work, and or, you know, even better, be able to experience it firsthand sometime. And I welcome anyone listening to this to look you up and follow you, or, you know, participate in the services that you offer, because you're an exemplary role model in this line of work, and you know, somebody that I really, really look up to. And in the short time that I've known you and the conversations we've had, there's always so much value and nuggets of wisdom that you have to offer.
Well, thank you, Penny, and the feeling is quite mutual, I assure you.
Thank you for being a part of this, and I look forward to another interview with you to keep sharing your amazing knowledge with our listeners. So with that, I'll sign off, and thank you very much for being
with me.